The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, if you would, please. Father, let every ear be anointed to hear. Let every heart be receptive. Receive all that heaven has today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message, continuing on our series on multiplying or multiply or multiplication, is called Multiplying Prayer. Or you could say, prayers that multiply. In Matthew 14 and verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. You know, that's the reason why we have to multiply, because of a multitude. He was moved with compassion towards them. Many people are moved with sympathy, but sympathy doesn't do anything. Sympathy just says, oh, isn't that terrible? Compassion moves. So he was moved with compassion towards them and healed the sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they do not need to depart. Give them to eat. And they said, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, what do I learn from that passage? First of all, multiplication comes out of what you got in your hand right now. People always have this idea that if something's going to multiply, it'll just come totally from the outside. But when you realize what I'm sharing with you today, that actual fact in your hand right now, you hold a miracle. No matter how small that miracle might seem, in actual fact, it might seem so small to you, it's insignificant. And you say, oh, surely, no multiplication can come out of this. But as you know, around the river, as we teach you, a little becomes much when you put it in the master's hands. So that means every person here today, as you are right now, without even the Lord increasing you or blessing you, has in your hand right now the ability for multiplication with just what you have. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on. I thought somebody, a few more people get excited about that. 5 loaves and 2 fish do not feed a multitude. Except when Jesus multiplies, it does. He prayed. The fish didn't get any more. The bread didn't get any more. But as they broke it, you see, there's an action involved on behalf of the individual. I might have what looks like not enough, but in essence, I have enough to feed a multitude. Not only feed a multitude, but to have baskets left over. But it takes the action of me taking what I have and being obedient to the Lord and breaking that bread and breaking that fish or whatever that he has placed in your hand. Whatever you have in your house, whatever you have in your hand, right now is sufficient for God to begin the multiplication process. You see that? When a couple get married, And then they multiply. They have children. Are you with me? When a couple gets married, they don't need anything else. Just the two of them to do what couples that are married do. Are you with me? And then what happens? The multiplication takes place. The Bible says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So if we add the women and children, you could have had upwards of 15, 18,000 people off of a little boy's lunch. Are you kidding me? And then 12 baskets left over. Not only will he take what you have in your hand right now and multiply that, they'll be left over. Who loves leftover of a great meal? You know, you have a big Thanksgiving meal, which of course we'll come up to that in November, and then there's leftovers. And then for the next 2 days, you know, how many know? It's leftovers. But you're not unhappy about it because it was really great at Thanksgiving. Somebody said, hey, do you still have that? Remember that dish? Remember that dish someone brought over? Do you still have a little bit left? I'm so sorry. Somebody else got stuck into it. It was in the fridge, but they cleaned the plate. Oh, no. I got to wait for next Thanksgiving to get another plate of that. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, we feed like up to 40 people. We'll have people over, some that don't have families around them. And so we always got leftovers. People leave our house with big bags of stuff, you know. We load them up. There are baskets left over when we finish. Something happens when we press in prayer, because all Jesus did was pray. He didn't do anything. He didn't fret. He didn't say, I wonder how this is going to feed the multitude. He's the one that said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Lord, we have nothing here. Bring it here. And then he prayed and blessed it. And that nothing became something. So this is what's going to happen Friday night. Not this coming Friday, but the following Friday night. Is going to be the all-night prayer meeting. How many have been in one of the all-night prayer meetings? We start at 6 and we'll finish at 6 a.m. And I will feed everybody breakfast at 6 a.m. Whoever's here at 6 a.m. will get breakfast on the house. Amen. And we're going to press in prayer through the night. I'm talking about fervent prayer regarding this multiplication factor. 12 hours of prayer, praise, intercession, exhortation. And I want us to pray over, of course, the United Kingdom, because that following Sunday afternoon, we leave for the UK, for London ablaze. We'll be there a whole week, believing God to light a fire. Plus also, the River Bible Institute in the UK is going to start. And so we already have flown people over, getting everything ready there for that. We believe in God for a minimum of 200 students. And these kids, or some of them will be older, are going to be the fire that go across the UK and begin to see towns and cities and villages shaken. And then we're going to be praying over South Africa that is being torn apart right now. In many instances, we believe in God to see the tide turn, that the bloodshed and the violence is going to be reduced, and that God is going to come up with a solution. Are you with me? And I'm in touch with people in the government. And I don't want to mention the names because it's none of anybody else's business, but I'm talking about people high up in the government, people that actually have the ability to do something. And I was on the phone with them this week, praying with them, and just some of the most amazing things that I can't really tell publicly of what the Lord is doing. And so the tide is being turned, and we just have to keep praying. So we're going to push through. How many know that every time we push through in all-night prayer, supernatural things begin to take place? And then we're going to be praying over America because we believe in God for another great spiritual awakening. So I know somebody said, yeah, but I'm from another country. What about my country? Well, you could pray for your country. I just want the target over the 12 hours to be on that. But it's not just going to be about that. It's going to be about you pressing through concerning some of the things that you believe in God for. In prayer, nothing happens without prayer. Every failure is a prayer failure. And a lot of people get around and they talk the problem, but they don't pray the problem. Are you with me? People text somebody, hey, emergency, and then they go, praying. There's no more praying than a duck is a Delta jet airline pilot. Are you with me? They're not praying. They're just hashtag pray. They're not praying. Praying means you actually pray. That you actually stop what you're doing and you actually pray. How do we think text a prayer or text praying is going to help the situation? How do we think us talking about the problem is going to help the situation? It's not talking about the problem. Talking about the mountain never moves a mountain. Talking to the mountain moves the mountain. Are you with me? So this is what we're going to do. And you can write down the things that you believe in God for. You've got 12 hours of prayer that you can press through, and we're going to move these things out of the way. I'm telling you, from 6 p.m. at night to 6 a.m. in the morning, there are going to be loads of mountains moved totally out of the way. Truckloads are going to be hauled out of this place. And we're going to see breakthroughs in all of the things that we bring to the Lord in prayer. Can you say amen? Something happens when God breathes upon a nation. Something happens when God breathes upon a family, upon a life, upon a husband and a wife, where people will look at you and say, I perceive that the Lord is with you. Because everything you touch, I know this sounds terrible to the cat lovers, but a cat, how many know a cat always lands on its feet? How many know that? You take a cat, this sounds terrible, but that's not. You take a cat, you hang it upside down, hold the paws together like this, back legs, front legs, and then you let it go. It flips onto its feet. A cat always lands on its feet. And so people will be looking at you going, I don't understand how it always seems like they finished. They're never going to make it through. And then suddenly we look again. They're back on their feet again. I don't understand. How is that possible? It's because of what I'm talking about right now. It's because of multiplying prayer that takes place. You see, so many people are limited in what happens because they're only limited to what they can discuss. God's not moved by our discussions. God's not moved by our theories. God's not even moved by our thoughts or our ideas. God is moved by our prayers. And when we come in faith and we believe God, then we begin to see the increase and we begin to see the multiplication. You know, as Pastor Kenneth and Jessica said, it wasn't until they got single-minded about it, said, no, enough is enough is enough. We're not waiting anymore. And they begin to believe God and they focus their prayer on it. You have to draw a line in the sand. You can't. Listen, sitting around talking about the problem will not change one single thing. Listen, getting somebody else's opinion about the problem, even if you get the experts, which I found out that an expert is a drip under pressure. An expert is a drip under pressure. Spurt. Okay, well, that's fine. When God breathes upon a church, the church is unstoppable. That means no plan of the enemy will exact upon you. And as you hear us saying all the time, Father, we thank you for your hand upon your people. Thank you that you raise them up from obscurity. Thank you, Lord, that you bound them as a wall of fire. No harm and evil will come nigh unto them. That if the enemy digs a ditch for them, he will fall in himself. Thank you, Lord, that you wreak total havoc in the camp of the wicked. Let them turn on each other like a dog on its own tail. Who's ever seen a dog spin on its tail? Yeah, that's what's happening to the wicked right now. God has the wicked in derision right now. The Bible says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Shall laugh. And when God laughs, the wicked are in total confusion. The scripture declares, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Well, let me tell you, God needs to arise on the inside of his people. He needs to arise. He needs to rise big on the inside of every single one of you. And his word needs to rise big, coming up out of your mouth. And you need to be proclaiming his word. When multiplying prayer takes place, then strong believers are produced. Not weak believers, strong believers. Strong. I just feel some of you are getting stronger. You're getting stronger right now, even while I'm preaching. This is high octane stuff here right now. Are you with me? Strong, strong, not weak, strong, strong. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Hallelujah. With multiplying prayers, cause the fire of revival to keep burning. People ask me this all the time. How do you keep the fire burning? We don't understand it. I had a person that knew me when I was a teenager. I was preaching in Holland, and the first time there we had this arena packed, 5,000 people, and he was evangelical, a Baptist brother, very wonderful man. We worked together in Youth for Christ, and so he wanted to have a meal with me. And so in between the two services a day, he came, and we sat down, and we talked, and then he just looked at me and shook his head. He said, you're the exact same way you were when I knew you when you were in high school. He said, nothing's changed. Obviously, you're older, you're married, you're traveling the world, but he said, you're the same. People say, how do you keep that fire? When the fire's burning on the inside of you, you know what puts fire out, so you just don't hang around extinguishers. So if I see extinguishers coming, I go like this. Stay away from the extinguishers. And for me, many of them are preachers, you know. They're always going to come put the fire out. Well, you need to burn a little lighter. Your flame's a little too high. Then you just turn up the heat. Just turn up the flames of fire on the inside of you. Come on. Come on. Don't let the wet blanket people come around and put the fire out of you. Somebody said, well, they'll say I'm crazy. They already do. They already do. It doesn't really matter what they say. Why are you worried about what other people say? Hey, oh, Lord have mercy. The same goes for souls. You know, our whole DNA is about souls and the harvest. Everything we're doing is about souls. New ways, innovative ways to reach the souls, the harvest. And when you make souls your number one goal, God will cause you to multiply. That's one of the things I'm praying now over all the houses of joy, that what's going to happen is you're going to see the multiplication here in the next 4 or 5 months, and that God's going to use each HOJ, and I've been talking to our pastors, get each HOJ to bring one family to church on Sunday from your neighborhood, you know. Because for years we fly at neighborhoods, but obviously, and we try to get people into houses of joy, and we try to get them discipled. But how much even better when you know it's your neighbor from two houses down that came to church, and when the altar call was given, they came forward to get saved. Then you know, my neighbor went up and got saved. Now you know they can put them in your house, and then their house will become a place eventually where the Lord comes and begins to move. What will happen if the houses of joy start taking over whole streets and neighborhoods? Come on. I mean, when God multiplies, are you with me?
Yes.
So this happens in every area. fire, souls, provision. It's all the same. It doesn't change. So it's in your hands right now, which, again, I can't emphasize this any stronger than what I'm saying right now. It's actually in your hands. There have been times when we've had a need that's been in the ministry of you know, even building material or some supplies to do something. And the Lord said to me, tell them it's in the warehouse. It's in the warehouse. We have it there. They went back past us all in the warehouse. Everything we needed was in the warehouse, you know, because only God knows what's in that warehouse. I mean, there's stuff from here, you know, but we have it. We have it. There's a lot of things that you have. There's things in your house you forgot that you have them in your house. Who even has a storage somewhere? Do you even know what's in your storage? Come on. When last did you look in your storage? Some people have an attic or something in the garage. They haven't looked in those boxes in 5 years. You've even forgotten what some people pray. Oh, God, I need this. It's in the box in the garage.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord already met that need. Somebody said, how can you say that? I know what I'm talking about. Everybody say, I must look at what I have in my hands. And then the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, the first part, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Because here's where the problem comes with prayer. People pray, then sit on their blessed assurance. God does not bless the seat of your pants. God blesses the work of your hands, which a lot of people are thrown off because they hate the term work. They don't like the term work. And in some areas of America, people have been put on subsistence by the government. That people make more money without working. So why should I work? If I'm getting all this from the government, you don't understand. That's actually signing your death warrant to accept help from people outside of you that have no desire to see you succeed, but rather keep you in slavery to a system. Somebody said, I need a helping hand. These hands attached to your own arms are the hands that will help you. You have to understand, when you pray and you believe God for multiplication, then in your hands you hold the miracle. In your hands is the way out. It might not come overnight, but within 1 or 2 or 3 years of diligence, you will come out of any circumstance or situation you find yourself in. Even if a hurricane came, blew your whole house away to where you had nothing. Within 3 years, you'll have more than you ever had in your life. Somebody said, yeah, but my toupee blew away. Well, then somebody in another county will be wearing it. But there's a raccoon running around with some hair. No. The fact of the matter is that somebody else will be wearing it. But it doesn't matter. You can get another toupee. Don't worry about your toupee. 3 years from today, people won't even recognize you. Because anyway, the stuff that blew away was old. So everything you have will be new. How many of you know? New is better than old. Somebody said, yeah, but there were photographs of me. You never even looked at the photographs. In actual fact, if somebody opened the album with the photographs, you said, don't look at that. I was so geeky back then. Come on. Well, I'm very sentimental. Yeah, you're so sentimental, it's cost you so many cents, and now you've gone mental. I mean, really, seriously. Everybody say this often to me. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'll do with all my might. So that means you're going to be diligent. That means we pray and we work. We pray and we work. Listen, People ask me, how do you have a successful ministry? All I know is go preach. I mean, I preach twice a day. I preach sometimes three times a day if I get a chance. I see some pastors, they preach once a week, and then they tie it. I tell you, Sunday was just over the top. I just need like 3 days to recover. I'm preaching tonight in Connecticut. Yeah. What I'm saying, no, I'm not saying so you can clap for me. I'm trying to tell you. I mean, we work. Someone said, why do you do that? You're so busy. That's our job. That's what we do. That's what we do. We go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yeah, but you can't preach that much. What do you mean? I have to, because some people are preaching so less. So I'm trying to make up for the people that are preaching so less. We got a harvest out there. We got people we got to reach for the kingdom. Plus, I'm not tired, even though I had 3.5 hours sleep last night. I'm not tired. I'm refreshed. I'm energized. Why? Because Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, I'll get tired tonight, but I'll go to sleep tonight. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to go dragging into Connecticut. Y'all pray for me. I tell you, we've had a busy week, I tell you, and then I got 3.5 hours sleep. So this service might not be like it should be today, and I'll just try to, y'all pray. What? Please. I mean, who would know I had 3.5 hours sleep today? No, somebody said, well, how are you going? What are you on? Ooh. I can get you on the same stuff I'm on. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's the divine. I said it's the divine. It's the new wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I feel it right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so we pray. And then we go and we do. See, we pray. A lot of people just use their prayer as a time of inactivity. So what are you doing? No, I'm just praying, just waiting on the Lord. We're just waiting on God. Yeah, but how long have you been waiting? Well, about 6 months now. I don't want to move ahead of God. Look, you haven't even moved. How can you move ahead of God? You haven't even moved. You know, a ship that's anchored in the dry docks of indecision goes nowhere. Some people have been in the dry docks. They've scraped every barnacle off of you. It's time now. They've already painted your hull. It's time now for you to launch back out into the deep and go out in the deep waters and begin to do what God's called you to do. We pray like it all depends on God, which it does. And then we go like it all depends on us. Say this after me. I'll pray like it all depends on God. And then I will go with what I have in my hands like it all depends on me. See, then God can guide you. He can't guide inactivity. We're just sitting there. So some people say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Actual fact, the Lord is actually waiting on you. So you say, oh, God, please move. And the Lord says, oh, Rodney, please move. Because as you go, I will go with you. You're not going by yourself. In every generation, God calls someone and then he uses them. He called Noah to build an ark. Think about that. Think about the persecution that came from building an ark when Noah could have built a canoe. I know these people think I'm crazy. You're going to build 83 acres, build it out, 500 dormitories, you know, and all. What are you building those dormitories for? And all the school classrooms for the River School of Government, School of Worship, you know, the Spanish School, and RBI, and just everything, the new television studios, 3,000 parking garage under the main sanctuary, you know, which is really great when you come park yourself in a parking garage with the rain here. If it rains here, you get out of your car. By the time you get to the church, you've been baptized. I mean, we should just have a sign, yeah, in the rain say, baptisms are conducted from your car to the church. Or at the end of the service, folks will be holding baptismal and you'll be baptized on the way out. Because yeah, when it rains, it rains. You know, you don't hear the term monsoon season, but in other countries they have monsoon season. I'm telling you, we have a monsoon season. I don't care what anybody says. There's water everywhere. It's like water comes up out of the ground. It's one thing we have here is rain. Which is good. In every generation, God looks for a Noah. And I say that because what is God going to have you do that's going to be of subsequence, that's going to impact many people? Because if you don't do it, someone said, well, God will find another. Yeah, but then you have to stand before him and give an account of why you wouldn't do what he wanted you to do. And then what is that going to make you? A slothful servant? Huh? Just say, Lord, I'll do it. Yeah, regardless of the persecution. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. So he left his home country. He went out there looking for that place. Isaac redug the wells that his father had dug, that the Philistines of life had come and blocked up. Jacob wrestled with God. You know, somebody said, well, Jacob was a deceiver. Yeah, but he wrestled with God. He got places with God that even an honest person hasn't got. Are you with me? Joseph went from the pit, then it couldn't get any worse. He goes to the prison and ends up in the palace. Moses goes from the bulrushes to Pharaoh's house, and then he's on the backside of a desert, but a burning bush encounter. Then he goes to deliver God's people. Let my people go. Maybe you feel like you've been on the backside of a desert and you've been in the wilderness. Well, I got news for you. There's always that burning bush experience that you can have with God. One touch with the fire of God will bring you out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joseph, from waiting and wondering to leading, sorry, that should say Joshua. Joshua, it's spelt wrong, it's not Joseph. Joshua, from waiting and wondering to lead them in the promised land, after Moses is dead, think about that. Moses, the great deliverer Moses, is dead, and now Joshua comes and leads them into the promised land. And he's the one that has to go take Jericho and take the cities. You know, there's always that place of confrontation, which a lot of people don't want to do. But through multiplication prayers, through prayers of multiplication, something happens on the inside of you. A greater boldness comes on. That's what's going to happen during the all-night prayer meeting. You're going to come out of that thing bolder than you've ever been before. Because things that are sealed in prayer, burnt into your spirit, branded in your spirit, you'll be able to go out and execute them. Hallelujah. When you obey God, and everything in your life begins to be multiplied. When you go through the scripture, you see God used each one, and it all led to a place called Calvary. You think of Mary, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, said, you're highly favored, and you're going to be with child. How do you even explain that? How do you go tell your friends and family, you know, I'm pregnant, I've not known a man, but what's going to be born in me is holy? Who's even going to believe you? Huh? Come on. You think it was easy being Mary? And Joseph, had the angel of the Lord not appeared to Joseph, he would have got rid of Mary. Said, listen, what's born in me is holy. No, you've been with some other guy, and I'm kicking you out. So the angel of the Lord had to appear to Joseph to tell him, to prepare him. So with everything that's birthed in prayer, there's always a reproach. There's always a reproach. For our ministry, it's a thing called joy. that will always be the reproach of our ministry. It'll be the thing that is the terrible thing in the religious world, that joy. Oh, you, that joy preacher. Yeah, you have the people, they laugh. Yeah, and the people fall down, roll in the ground. And that's the big offense. Well, thank God we're not the depression ministry. Thank the Lord that people don't leave the service on more Prozac than what they came. Thank God people are not at the book table buying a straitjacket. Thank God people come out of here with burdens lifted. Come on. Heads anointed with oil, cups running over. And the people that come out of here, as God raises them up and sends them out, they carry that same DNA everywhere they go. We have two brand new churches just started the last few weeks. Orlando, Florida, underway right now. Tri-Cities, Tennessee, starts first service this morning. I mean, it's multiplying. Are you with me? Coming right out of this place. Now, in John chapter 17, which I want to encourage you to read that chapter when you go home. How many will read John 17 when we go home? It's the prayer that Jesus prayed that we may be one. So Jesus prayed. How many know that Jesus always got his prayers answered? Number one. How many know that Jesus is actually praying for you right now? Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. What does the Bible say? He ever liveth to make intercession for you. So Jesus is praying for you. Therefore, if Jesus is praying for you, you'll not fail because he always gets his prayers answered. And the Bible calls him the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then, of course, the scripture declares the promises unto you and your children, Acts 2:39, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, which is what is going to happen here in just a few minutes. Do you understand how far off we are from this event? 2,000 years ago, we are the ones that believe, and yet we've not seen him. They saw him, and people that saw him believed, but there were others that didn't believe. But we haven't even seen him, and yet we believe. But the scripture declares, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believed. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by our emotions, even though our emotions get greatly touched. We don't live on an emotional high. We live on a spiritual high. There's a big difference between an emotional. An emotional high has got to do up here with your head. A spiritual high has got to do with your heart. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. You shall walk and not faint. You shall run and you will not be weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me wrap this up here this morning. I want you to begin to make a list. I'm giving you enough time this week. We'll talk about some more things next Sunday. But make a list of the things that you believe in God for to be multiplied. And you can actually break it down to one per hour. For those of you that are watching, you can join. The meeting will be streamed on revival.com, RTN, live stream, or on the YouTube channel, and we'll try to fix the problem with Facebook. We'll see what happens, you know. But nonetheless, it's available on YouTube and on RTN live stream. So make the list, and then you can, if you're in another place, another country, you can pray with us. Some of you won't be praying through the day. You might through the night. You might be praying through the day. You might be starting at 6 o'clock in the morning and finish it at 6 o'clock at night. But join us together. I've got churches already calling me, can we hook up with you by screen from other places across America for the all-night prayer meeting. So this is going to be an event. We'll be contacting people, letting them know, and they're going to be praying. So we're asking God for some very specific things. And we're going to be praying over nations, of course, as I mentioned already, America, then the UK, where we'll be the following week, and then, of course, South Africa. And then Tampa, for the locale where you live, your neighborhood, your street, your school, your government, your local government. We're going to be lifting that up. Those of you who are living in other places, you're going to be praying over your city, wherever that is. I know we're live across Atlanta right now. We want to welcome you. Brand new channel coming on in Atlanta, Faith USA. And then we're live across the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, a city of 4 million people. And we want to welcome you today to the live service coming from the River Tampa Bay Church. So make the list concerning what you believe in God for. Then also, personally, what do you personally believe in the Lord for? Write it down. There are people, you believe in God for a husband, you know. So write that down. You don't have to say what he's going to look like because you don't know what he's going to look like. But write down, I'm believing God for a husband. And personally, just rather let the Lord choose the one for you, you know. Word of advice. Well, he has to be this height and he has to look like this. Just take a chill. Because some are asking for people that have not even been born. That if you ask the Lord, you say, son, that person doesn't even exist. So just let God bring the right one to you. It's very important that you understand that. You all got that? All singles out there, do you understand that? So what do you believe in God for personally? In your relationships, husband and wife, with your family, your children. Increase, multiplication. You know, we're already praying for the two there. Amen. So were they tussling with each other this morning?
Yeah, they react to one another.
They're reacting to one another. That's going to be unbelievable to see. All right. And then friends. Pray for your friends. You know, sometimes friends are problems, you know. How many understand? Friends can be problems. How many know that? Everybody's like nervous to stick their hand up. But how many know friends can be problems? But the Bible says that God really blessed Job when he prayed for his friends. So pray for your friends. Are you with me? And even pray for your enemies. And don't let it be God. Kill them! Kill them all! Which, that's the natural reaction. I just pray the Lord sends an angel. May God strike them in the night. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest their armpits. You know, I mean, just like, just pray that your enemies will have an encounter with God and that God will turn their life around. Can you say amen? Who has any enemies? Well, they're not here today. Who has any enemies? They're not here today. So you should get happy. No, there's no enemies here. Pray over your businesses. Write down things that you believe in God for specifically. And then pray about, we always say, the soul designation that's attached to your life. What do you think the Lord's going to use you to bring into the kingdom? And set a soul goal, are you with me, of what you believe in the Lord for? I believe it's important because remember, the only thing we could take with us when we leave the earth is people. And then praying for a great awakening in America. Because I really feel, listen to me carefully, the time is so critical right now. We're probably, I would say, in the most critical time in America right now. Just because of what is happening. That this Antichrist spirit is so frantic right now that there's no telling what they'll try to pull. Listen, let me just show you why we're going to do this all-night prayer meeting. Because the rumblings go behind the scene that there could be a huge stock market crash in October. Or the collapse of the United States dollar. or a nuclear war. You see, and I'm not going to go into this too much, but this whole deep state operation, these people care nothing for America. So what they would do, listen, what they would do is actually nuke a city in America on purpose so they can take away the freedoms of the American people. Somebody said, no, they won't do that. Get my book, get our book that we put out, which, by the way, is we're making it into a comic because some of you still haven't read it. So we're actually putting in pictures so you'll actually be able to look at the pictures and see the words. I mean, I'm trying to get this information to as many people as possible. But the powers that be that actually run everything from behind the scenes are so frantic right now. There's no telling what they will do. And they don't care about humanity. You've got to understand, these people care absolutely nothing. Any people that will drive the killing of over 56, close to 60 million babies in the womb, care nothing for humanity. You have to understand, these people at the highest levels worship Lucifer. They care nothing about Jesus. They care nothing about God, and they care nothing about you. And they do not love America. They want America destroyed. But I know this one thing, that there are more than 50 righteous in America. And as we pray, multiplicating prayers, supernatural things are going to happen. That means no matter what they're planning will come unraveled even as we pray. And that God has given us a window to see a turn and to see another great awakening in America. And I know one preacher said, but Pastor, you can't change Bible prophecy. If it's the last days, then the Antichrist is coming. Over my dead body. I'm not stepping out of the way. Oh, Antichrist. Yeah, you want it? Yeah, come right on in. What do you want? You want Tampa? Go ahead and take it. Because we just chicken believers. We fried chicken believers. No, there's people involved here. No, absolutely not. Not on our watch. Right. Not on our watch. You're going to have to wait for our generation to be removed from the earth. But you are not doing your thing now. This is our time now. This is our hour. This is our day. And we're going to see some of the greatest victories for the kingdom in this hour. And God's going to use every single one of you. Can you say amen? Amen. How many in agreement with that? Now, so how many will make your list? And even this week, start refining it. I'll talk to you next week about some more things. And then Friday night, the 14th, we're going to kick in a high gear here. You can bring the kids, put them to sleep under the chairs. We're going to be praying. I'm talking about fervent prayer. I'm not talking about sit with your Bible and read it and have a headphone listening to quiet music and meditate. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about shatari bakaso prapaya. Moving mountains out of the way. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. It's time now. It's time now. It's time to move some things out of the way. And we're gonna come out of that 12 hours, and then there's gonna be victory after victory after victory after victory, and everything's gonna be multiplied concerning that which God wants done. But it's not gonna happen because we just sit here and talk about it. It's gonna happen because we pray. And when we pray, the hand of God begins to move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this here? Praise God. Praise God. Come here. Come here. When the Lord brought you here to RBI, it's because he's getting you ready. Come here. He's getting you ready for what he's going to do. Lift your hands. Come. Thank you. Step right over here. Getting you ready. This will be a time of equipping you and getting you ready. And the fire of God and even that which God is birthing on the inside of you. And when you come out of here, your family, your friends, loved ones, not even going to recognize you. But the fire of the Holy Ghost that shall rest upon you in a greater way. than ever before. And many of you, even that have come in here, you came in here one way, but you're going to leave another way. Let me tell you right now, you're going to leave another way. You're going to come out of here firebrands by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, firebrands. Praise God. And just so you know, RBI, I'm revamping all the curriculum this week. No, I am. I'm throwing out some things and I'm bringing in some new stuff. I haven't done that in years and years. I set the curriculum in 20 years ago. I haven't done anything. I went back talking to the dean and principal. I said, no, I'm changing everything. I'm coming. I'm a revamp. So some of you might have started off on a class. I'm going to flip that thing on you. No, I'm revamping everything. Listen, I'm gonna put some high intensity fire into this thing. Come on. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is not a place just about information. This is a place about revelation. Amen. Amen. Well, not bad for 3.5 hours sleep, huh? You better take what I take, drink what I drink. You can run where I run. Amen. He's going to be okay. Praise God. I want everybody to bow your heads, please, across this place today. And those watching in your homes by way of television, we're going to give an invitation right now. Those of you watching online, if you fit into any one of these three categories, we want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you came here today or you're watching across Las Vegas, the great city of Atlanta, all the other cities now that are going to be coming online. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. Friend, let me ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day? Where would you spend eternity? If you went home today, put your head on your pillow, and in the middle of the night, you breathed your last breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid, the blood was shed, and just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken off of you. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. And today, he calls you. Today, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He calls you. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? He loves you. Today is about surrender. To say, Lord, here I am. I come just as I am. Have your way in me. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord and days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God. There was a time when you had a passion. But somehow you lost that. Maybe it's something that's hidden that no one can see. So people don't know what's going on the inside of you. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. No one knows. But today, you want to come and surrender your life afresh and say, Lord Jesus, come. Take full control. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And so that the enemy uses against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But today you say, you know, I'm coming back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. I want to surrender my life afresh. Will you let him come and do that? He'll never force himself on you. He only comes where he's wanted. Will you say, Jesus, come? And he'll do it. He loves you. He stands with arms wide open. He says, come. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we describe. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. You were going along and you were doing great, and then this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. And it just kind of, you can't even get back. Everything's been knocked out of you. The wind is knocked out of your sails, and you don't even know how to pray or read the word. I met pastors that told me this. Said I was going along, and then this thing hit me out of the blue. I can't even get back. I don't even know how to get back. Pastors of big churches. But today the Lord says, come. Will you surrender to Him afresh? He loves you. He loves you so much. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation, the devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you don't want any more doubt. You want to know if this is you. Right where you are, without any hesitation whatsoever, quickly, put your hand up right now. Say, pray for me. I need Jesus. God bless you. 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 Put up. God bless you. God bless you. Under the overhang. God bless you. All the way to the back. God bless you. God bless you over here. Yes, 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 yes. Slip it up high. Even on the far side here, quickly. Slip up high under the overhang. Just raise up high and say, yes, that's me. Right against the wall. Right back there. God bless you. Yes, yes. Once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me. Everybody, look at me. I'm over here. In this section. In this section, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray right now, quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. God bless you at the back. Yes, yes, sir. Yes. Anybody else? Raise up high. Say yes. What about this section? You didn't raise your hand but want to be included, slip it up high right now, right at the back there, this section here, quickly. Yes, what about Facebook? Put your hand up right now, right now. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. Slip up your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Quickly, raise up high. Say, I want to be included. I want to be included in the prayer you're going to pray. All the way to the back. God bless you. Yes. I'm going to ask every person, thank you. I'm going to ask everyone that raised your hand, I want you to stand to your feet right now. All across the building, stand. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. Stand, 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 stand. Stand. All across the building. I'm going to ask the ushers to help him and put him back on his seat. So otherwise we have a blockage with the traffic yet. Amen. You watch what God's going to do, my friend. Amen. Watch what God's going to do. Praise God. Just put him back in his seat there. All right, I want everyone that's standing, bring your personal belongings and come with you and come stand around the altar. We're going to pray. Come. Come now. Come now. It's time now, let me just say this, it's time for the HOJs to step up. We're doing something whole different now. Rather than flying neighborhoods, we have to mobilize the HOJs. The HOJs will determine the altar calls here. And that's being done on purpose. Are you with me? So that you can then follow the people up and disciple them. Then we're taking territory. Because for years we fly neighborhoods. And I'm not saying we won't do that for come up Thanksgiving, the big Thanksgiving turkey giveaway we do, and then the Christmas. But this time now for every HOJ to step up. If an HOJ after these years can't bring one person on Sunday, then you guys all need to be in the prayer meeting for 12 hours and ask God to help you. Just a whole HOJ has to bring one person. I mean, how hard can that be? That's 134 HOJs across the city. If there's, you know, anything, 8 to 12 people in HOJ or whatever there is in the HOJ, find one person to bring Sunday. That means you have to fill your car and bring them. Just one person. They say the average American family has 2.5 kids. Find a half a kid and bring them. I mean, seriously. No. I'm putting this to the test right now because I can fill this altar like we have for years. I'm stepping this thing to another dimension here now. 2 weeks ago, I told all our pastors, we're not flying neighborhoods now. We're going to put the pressure on the HOJs. Either the HOJs are going to be the fruit producers, or they're just going to be little holy huddles where everybody sits in fellowships and eats whatever.
Come on.
No. It's time to go to the next level now. Come on. We're 21 years old as a church. It's time for the church to step up now. Come on. One person a week. Could be a family. Could be three. Could be one. Just one. Now that's the thing that we're going to be praying about in the HOJs. Even this next week, put it on the notes. And it'll be, we've got to find pastors believing. And I'm going to start blessing the HOJs that bring the most people. Somebody said, what are you going to bless us with? Maybe a trip to one of the crusades that we do. All right, that didn't go over well, so I'll just leave that now. No, that was, please. Yeah, I mean, the crusade could be in Hawaii. I mean, you don't know where I'm going to have the crusade. So the HOJs start working. We'll find out who you are. You say, how would you know? Because we'll know from the people you have to disciple and follow up because you brought them. Then that whole HOJ will fly all of them to one of the crusades. So. The stuff I do to try to help bless people is like crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. But it's time to be productive. Come on. Because as you bring people, then you follow them up, then they become part of your HOJ, and then your HOJ multiplies to the people in your street because they come from your street. How many can grab this? You see it? Three people. Boy. I realize as long as I've been in the ministry, I've really become such a great communicator after all these years. Three people grabbed it. Phenomenal. I'm going to be really praying for myself the 12 hours. Just, Jesus, please help me to communicate properly. It's my accent. That's the problem. It's my accent. I always knew it. It's my accent. I got to get it fixed. I want you to look at me right now. We're going to pray. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. So I want you to close your eyes and just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. And from this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank Him. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray, in Jesus' name. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus.
Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.